The technical skills that help secure your first promotion might not guarantee your next. If you aspire to be in a leadership role, there's an emotional element you need to consider. It's what helps you successfully coach teams, manage stress, deliver feedback, and collaborate with others. We call this emotional intelligence, and it accounts for nearly 90% of what sets high performers apart from peers with similar technical skills and knowledge.
This is the Champion Forum podcast with Jeff Hancher, the forum for leaders, champions, and dreamers.
Welcome back to the Champion Forum podcast, where I am on a mission to help everyone lead, inspire, and win. You see, emotional intelligence is defined as the ability to understand and manage your own emotions, as well as recognize and influence the emotions of those around you, those that you lead. Emotional intelligence, endearingly, we've coined EQ, has become a key buzzword in leadership and organizational structures. You could say that there's people that would even say that it's the secret sauce of great leadership and the secret sauce of team building. But I've heard many say that it's tough to develop and teach, Jeff. How do you kind of know it when you see it? But how do you teach this? How do you develop this in a leader? Or how do I get this for myself? You know, I've often heard people say that it's something that you can't put your finger on, but you know it when you see it. And I can tell you this from my personal experience, that if I had to give up all but one leadership skill, I would choose a high EQ. The most effective leaders are all alike in one crucial way. They all have a high degree of what has come to be known as emotional intelligence. And today on the show, I have a special guest. I have Carissa Harrison. And Carissa is a certified Enneagram coach and consultant who is passionate about helping leaders use the Enneagram to create a plan for personal growth and leadership effectiveness. She has served as a leader for over 15 years, including at the executive level. She is passionate about helping individuals and teams use the Enneagram to perform at their highest and best. She's also, maybe her most coveted title, she's married to Ryan of 13 years. They have three school-age kids and live in Murrieta, California. She prefers a good book to Netflix and quiet conversations over large crowds. Carissa, welcome to the Champion Forum podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
It is exciting. You know, Carissa and I met on Clubhouse, and I was just talking in a prior episode that I recorded about Clubhouse and where I think Clubhouse is going. But here is another great example of the power of Clubhouse. I don't know if you remember the whole backstory, Carissa, but I randomly, one Saturday morning, I jump on Clubhouse and I'm just looking for anything leadership. And boom, I found one. And I'm like, I'm just going to go check it out. I was just a member of the audience. And I raised my hand. They pulled me on the stage, and I must have said something somewhat impactful, because next thing I knew, I'm a moderator. And we connected on social media. We jumped into some other clubhouses together. We've moderated some rooms together. And here we are now collaborating on a whole different level, using our expertises to help drive leadership development. So another testimony of Clubhouse.
It really is a fantastic new app. And I think we are just starting to see the potential that's involved there, you know, not even just with the transfer of information and the ability to learn new things, but the ability to network with people. I mean, I'm on Zoom calls now with people all around the world. I'm trying to figure out what time and what day it is in Australia so I can jump on Zoom with a potential new business client. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And I would tell you this, listener, maybe you're not big into social media, whatever. You at least got to check out Clubhouse, because to that point, I was in a room, what was it, a week and a half ago, and secured another podcast interview. And I've secured more podcast interviews, which I'm now the guest, which is a nice twist, all through Clubhouse and getting my message out. you know, sometimes we wonder sometimes what separates, you know, the influencer from the armchair quarterback. And really, sometimes it just boils down to simply lack of exposure. So this is another great venue. But enough about Clubhouse. We're here to talk about a very, very interesting subject, one that I've become a student of for many, many years, that which we call emotional intelligence. And over the years, emotional intelligence, which we call EQ, has evolved into this must-have skill. And research shows us that emotional intelligence is the strongest predictor of performance. There's no argument here. And hiring managers are taking notice of this and have been for some time. 71% of employers surveyed by Career Builder said that they value EQ over IQ, reporting that employees with higher emotional intelligence are more likely to stay calm under pressure, resolve conflict effectively, and respond to coworkers with empathy. Now, this sounds like something that that we could all use a little more of. So based off some of those statistics that you just heard, 71% of employers surveyed say they value EQ over IQ. Could you talk to that a little bit, Carissa, and what you're seeing out there and how EQ is now a predictor of performance?
Yes, absolutely. It's one of those things where, you know, who was it? Drucker, who said, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yes.
And we can have the clearest vision and the best strategies to chase after and bring that vision into reality. But if we've got stuff going on under the surface, either personally or amongst our team, it's going to set up roadblocks. It's going to set up friction and tension that prevents us from moving forward as quickly as we would like to. And so I know as someone who was the one hiring for teams and responsible for going through resumes, early on in the process, I started to shift the way that I was interviewing candidates. Mm-hmm. Once I knew they had the basic skills that were necessary, I really started to look for, does this person have a high level of emotional and social intelligence? Are they, you know, hungry, humble, and then smart? And that word smart is really about emotional intelligence. And we can get to the heart of it. We can figure out how to identify it, how to measure it, and it can be developed in people, but I would much rather be a leader developing skill in someone than a leader trying to get someone to be willing to learn emotional intelligence. There's two different things there.
It really is. And so well said. And I think I have a couple questions here regarding strategy and team building. But, you know, in my intro, I talked a little bit about this secret sauce. And I can't tell you how many countless succession planning meetings I've been in over the years. And I will tell you, there's two things that often hold people back as it relates to leadership impact, promotability, things like that. The first one I would tell you is challenging leadership, meaning the ability to hold people accountable. The second is EQ. And, you know, people that are one way all the time. And often it's that they're ultra aggressive, meaning they don't have a filter. They don't know how to come down. They don't know how to adapt to people. And I always say, if you're one way all the time, you're going to be right about 10% of the time. And typically, mm-hmm. if this is you listening, and you're frustrated and you're like, but I'm putting the work in, I'm reading all the John Maxwell books, you know, I'm doing all of this stuff. And I feel like I'm just not getting ahead. And worst case scenario is we're sitting back and we're saying to ourselves, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They have it all wrong. And sometimes you might even be in an organization that your leader doesn't even know how to put a finger on it. They just know that they're not confident enough to put you in that next realm. So Chris, if you could maybe talk to the person that might be listening, that they do have a tire in the mud, and maybe they're always kind of dealing with conflict, or they always feel like they're putting out fires with peers or their boss or whatever. What is that lack of EQ? And what are some things that you would say to that person that they need to be aware of?
Well, I think awareness is where it starts. We have to become increasingly self-aware. If we don't understand what's happening internally, if we don't understand what's happening in our thoughts, and our feelings, because our thoughts create our feelings, and then our feelings create our behavior and our actions. And so if we don't have really good, deep levels of self-awareness, then we have no idea why we're hitting sales goals, but we're not getting promoted into leadership. We have no idea why we notice that when we walk into a meeting, everybody kind of shuts down or, you know, those different kinds of things that happen, because our skill level is where it needs to be. We're hitting the numbers, we're hitting the metrics, but the relationships are not where they need to be, you know, or maybe we're getting along really well with clients, but we struggle with our team members. We struggle at the office, and self-awareness really is the first part of that. Because here's the thing, Jeff, we can't change what we can't see.
That's good.
And so self-awareness is the beginning. Self-management is the next piece of the puzzle. So once we begin to understand, what are my internal motivations? How am I impacting the people around me? How am I coming across in communication, in conflict? Well, then I can begin to self-manage. I move out of autopilot mode and into this space where I'm able to pause and reflect and then respond instead of reacting. And it's the reactions that get us into trouble.
Oh, isn't that the truth? And you're bringing up something really good. You know, we talk about the components of emotional intelligence. Self-awareness absolutely is the foundation, I believe, in the pillar. You know, this is that ability to recognize and understand your mood, your emotions, your drivers, and your effect on others that you have. You talked about people shut down when you come into the room. Maybe there's somebody listening and they're saying, well, that's not me. Well, it probably is you if you're saying that. What are some tools that you would recommend that every leader does, self-aware or not, to ensure this self-awareness and get this feedback? Is there anything that you would recommend that leaders can proactively do to be intentional to make sure that they're drawing in self-awareness?
Yes. Okay. So we have access to incredible resources right now. We have access to books. We have access to podcasts. We have access to digital and online learning. We have access to coaches who know how to help us learn the things that we don't understand about ourselves. And so the question would be, are you as a leader leaning into the resources that you need in order to learn how to develop deep levels of self-awareness? Are you learning more about who you are and the way that you are wired and created and the way that you show up in the world? Do you have accountability in your life? Are there people around you that you trust, that you respect, that are able to speak in? Because here's the thing, they're called blind spots for a reason.
Right.
I have them, you have them, and we can't recognize them unless someone helps us see them. And so we can do some of the work of self-awareness on our own, but we really need great resources and tools, and we really need great accountability from people that care about our success, care about our well-being, and who are willing to give us the necessary truth.
So good. Find ways, leader, to have people around you that are putting the mirror up in front of you. This is so, so important. Self-awareness is a pillar of emotional intelligence. We have to seek this out. So, you know, to get very practical, Carissa, you have a team, has a clear vision, killer strategy, but they're either stuck or they're not making as much progress as they like, which we see this in business all the time. And this gets back to effort doesn't always equal results. You know, your results get you a seat at the table. EQ gets you the job. So this is a real example where you have clear vision, great strategy, and you're just kind of stuck. You're not making progress. What are the underlying issues with this? What are some things that leader listening that says, that's me, that's my team? What's the underlying issues and what do we do about it?
I think the leader has to start with reflecting on their own personality, their own motivations, their own stuck points. It has to start with the leader. It has to start with the individual. And even if you are not the principal leader of the team, you still have the ability to lead yourself. You still have the ability to impact yourself and your team and even your leader above you. And so it starts there, because when we are experiencing tension within ourselves, the people around us are experiencing the tension. When we're frustrated internally, The people around us are also experiencing the frustration externally. It's the difference between synergy on a team that's working together because they have fantastic communication and they have the ability to lean into healthy conflict, which a lot of teams are either completely avoiding conflict, so they're not having the necessary conversations, or there's unhealthy conflict and drama that's tripping them up. And so if the leader can begin with, what's happening internally in me? What are the internal motivations? What are the internal fears? What are the internal tensions that are tripping me up? If they can begin there, it will help them move forward with their team. Because at the end of the day, we know as leaders that what's happening on our team, we are responsible for.
Well said. Well said. And I think I've been there as a leader where, you know, and I'm an eight on the Enneagram. So I am the, you know, I'm very self-confident. I'm the assertive, you know, I like planning as well. You know, I like safety nets. I like a plan B, C, D, E. I like that stuff. I like engaging. I like a healthy debate, all these things that come with an eight, which we'll get into that in a minute, but knowing who I am, it's also important to know who my team is. But thinking about some things that you said there are, you know, makes me think about how many countless times I've been in this situation where I have the vision. All right, check, got it. I have the strategy, check, got it. But I knew that there were missing things. And back to having the mirror up around you, there were things that I was missing as a, in an EQ level to not get there. Things like empathy. I wasn't always good at that. And it wasn't because I didn't care. It was because I was so mission focused that I forgot people were around. And if it meant leaving bodies in the wake, then that's what it meant. You know, take the hill at any cost. And I would lose. I would lose with great vision and great strategy. I would lose. Why? I lacked empathy. I lacked the self-awareness. I didn't react well to conflict because I'm a driver and my way is the best way. And so I had to learn these things that, you know, the, and these are key components of being an emotionally intelligent leader. You know, empathy is a huge one. And I lacked that. But here I was, tire in the mud. I thought I did everything right. I mean, they gave me the playbook. I ran it. Hey, you want to win? Have a great strategy. Work hard. Have great vision. Cast it out to the team. But the wheels are still flinging mud. These are some of those key soft skills that I think we could add to that. Your thoughts?
I think what you described, I've been there. I'm not an Enneagram 8, but I'm an Enneagram 3. And we get so focused on the goal, so focused on the work that we forget about the people around us that we actually need in order to make the vision a reality. And so what you're describing is that feeling, and I would imagine that our listeners have felt that before too, where you're clear on your vision, you're executing the strategy, everyone is working so hard, but you feel like you're hitting a wall. And a big reason for that is going to be there's a lack of emotional and social intelligence. And so it starts with the individual. Are you self-aware? Are you self-managing? And then what happens is we start to realize, Jeff, that not everyone else around us sees the world the way that we do, that there are other personality types, other communication styles, other conflict styles. And our job as a leader, as an effective leader, is to adjust our style and to adjust our approach to be effective in the way that we lead and interact with our teams. And if we're not doing that, if we're not operating out of self-awareness and then self-management and then social awareness, we're going to feel like we're hitting a wall.
So true. So true. So for the listener that's listening in and is like, wow, this is some great conversation. And I've heard about this emotional intelligence thing, but I don't know what it is. How would you, as a expert in emotional intelligence and the Enneagram, what would you say? How would you explain emotional intelligence to somebody that's hearing it for the first time? And why is it vital to team success?
I think the way that I would describe it is it's an awareness of what's happening internally inside of us, the ability to manage what's happening, and then the secondary ability to notice what's happening internally in the people around us and then to respond accordingly. And so it's not taking things at face value anymore. And it's not operating in autopilot where we just are reacting in the moment to the next thing that happens or the next task or the next conversation. We're taking a moment to be present and mindful and to pay attention to what am I thinking, what am I feeling before I then take action, which a lot of times as leaders, what are we doing before we think and before we acknowledge what we feel? We're just taking action. We're just doing the next thing. Well, that's going to trip us up.
Yes, no doubt. You know, I've heard it coined also as street smarts. You know, you hear people talk about street smarts. That's what they're talking about is emotional intelligence, how to adapt to environment, how to adapt to different, you know, personality styles. And you have to be careful because, you know, I was this leader at one point too, where I would win the war or win the battle and lose the war. And because I wouldn't adapt appropriately. So there is something about these quote unquote street smarts to where basically what we're saying there is you're very adaptable. You're very aware of your surroundings. You are high empathy, these types of things. So we know what it is, a good explanation of what it is. What does it look like? How do we know if we're good at it or not good at it? What does it look like to measure EQ or increase it? We know about IQ. We know that there's some smarts there. There's things that you can do. You can take a test. It'll tell you what your EQ is or IQ. How do we measure EQ and how do we get better? How do we increase our grade on EQ as a leader?
This is one of the topics I'm most passionate about because I don't know that most leaders understand that you can actually increase your emotional intelligence and that you can measure it. That you can evaluate where you are and where you want to be when it comes to emotional intelligence. And then as leaders, once we get really good at doing it for ourselves, we can then help our teams increase their emotional intelligence and get better at it. And then when you're hiring, this was my secret sauce when I was hiring my teams, was I learned how to look for and measure emotional intelligence in a person that I was interviewing for a position, which then created this incredible team of people around me. And so hands down, I think the Enneagram is one of the best tools for helping leaders see themselves with incredible clarity. And so what it does is it helps not to just define our personalities, to describe our behaviors. You know, that we've got a million personality tests that can do that for us.
Right.
What sets the Enneagram apart, and it's ancient wisdom, 9 personality types, is it helps us to understand why we think and feel and behave the way that we do. And so it's kind of like if you go to the doctor, Jeff, and you have a headache, he can treat the symptom with Tylenol, right? Sure. So we can treat the personality symptoms all day long, but we still feel stuck. We still feel like, why is this not working? Why is there not synergy? Why do I feel like I am hitting a wall? Mm-hmm. It's because we want to get to the root cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. The Enneagram helps us get to the root cause, those internal motivations, the core fear and the core desire that are driving our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, so that when we become aware of them, we can then change them and adjust. And then where it really becomes incredible is once we learn how to increase our own emotional intelligence and we operate in self-awareness and self-management, then we can begin to go, okay, wait a second. So you mean you don't see the world the same way that I do? And if I can understand your internal motivations, and then I can adjust the way that I communicate with you, and I can adjust the way that I handle difficult conversations with you, the way I affirm you, the way I lead with you, then man, that's when synergy can happen on a team. That's when trust is built on a team. That's when as a leader, you have people who are willing to roll up their sleeves, dig in and do whatever it takes to take that vision and turn it into a reality.
Man, that is well said. You know, I tell people often the analogy of fishing. You know, I say every time I go fishing, you know, I go to catch fish. That's the whole point of fishing. And I love a good Snickers bar, but I wouldn't dare crack off a piece of that Snickers bar, put it on the hook and throw it in the water. And the reason I don't is because fish don't like Snickers bars. I do, but I don't feed the fish. I feed the fish worms because I know that's what they eat. And knowing who's on your team and knowing what are their drivers, what are their setbacks, what are the opportunities and yours, you're going to better know what is it that you need to put on the hook. Because here's what we know about business, about leadership, about being an entrepreneur, about whatever it might be. The mission doesn't always change, but how you get there, the strategy to get there and the personnel and getting them to reach their potential is always the biggest challenge. And so understanding, you know, what you're saying is absolutely critical to productivity. Because if not, you will become potentially that leader that's the aggressive, gets out the big stick and just beats everybody into submission. You can get results that way, but you'll never reach your fullest potential. So now you're referencing maybe something that people are hearing for the first time, the Enneagram. How would you describe it? What is it? And how have you used it as a not only as a leader, but also within your team?
Yes. Okay. So the Enneagram is Greek for nine drawing. So it's nine different personality types that see the world through nine different lenses. And at the end of the day, we all have a core fear and a core desire that's driving our thoughts, our feelings, and our behaviors. And so what the Enneagram does is it helps us to understand, maybe for the first time, this box that we've been living in, you know, this autopilot mode that we found ourselves on, where sometimes we go, I don't know why I have this pattern in my life or this habit in my life, or why I always react to the level 10 in this situation, when in reality, it really only needs to be a level 2 reaction. It helps us to understand those things. And what's brilliant about it, Jeff, is it doesn't just describe the box for us, but it actually provides a map for us to get out of the box and experience freedom through personal growth. And so it doesn't just describe personalities, but it actually gives you a framework for how to become your best self, your best version of the way that you were uniquely created and wired to show up in the world. And all nine types are incredible human beings and individuals. There's no good type or wrong type. All nine types can be incredible leaders. And what's really fun when we're trying to figure out and measure, you know, emotional intelligence is within each type, you can define levels of health. So one of the things I'll work with on my clients is, you know, where are they in their level of health within their type? And then what does it look like to move to the next level of health? It also describes for us what we look like when we're stressed, what we look like when we're healthy and we're growing, so that we have some guardrails, you know, when we're trying to operate in a healthy way in our life. And so for me, hands down, I've been using it for 7 years, best tool for my own personal growth. I mean, when I look back at the last 7 years without utilizing the Enneagram, and I still use it today, it's still something that I'm learning and discovering because there's so many layers that you peel back with it. And then once I realized how, you know, pivotal it was for my own personal growth as a leader, then I began to introduce it to my team that I was leading. And then as they began to understand their personality and I began to understand them, I could adjust my approach. Mm-hmm. And what it did in addition to that, that I think I love, and this is for business, this is for leadership, this is for your marriage, your parenting, is it helps us have compassion for the people around us.
Yeah.
As leaders, when you have that person on your team that just drives you crazy and you can't figure out why, and you just seem to always butt heads, the Enneagram can help us understand why there's that disconnect. Mm-hmm. And then it leads us to compassion and understanding, which, I mean, who doesn't need more compassion and understanding on their team?
Oh my gosh. You know, it reminds me, I can't tell you how many times early in my leadership and leaders listening, you've said this: I would just love to know what makes them tick. I would love to know.
Enneagram will do that.
Exactly. That's it. Like, this is the whole point, is you need to know what makes people tick. You need to know why is it that way? The other thing that you said that is so good, that was a pitfall for me early, And this is a watch out, especially in very rich cultures. And let's just say, for example, that you're in a very rich culture of threes. And it's like everybody at the senior level is a three. Well, next thing you find is you're trying to put yourself in the box of a three. And there's other, you know, formats out there and different things. That's a high risk for you. Because if you're built to be an eight, to Carissa's point, it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means that you need to know how to flow in your HPAs, your high performing activities, for who you are. There's no right or wrong in these things. So forget about what all, you know, the executives or leaders in your organization are or what. They need you to be the best you. And so looking at that, Carissa, what are some things that you would tell folks that maybe they haven't been down this road? Or let's give some practical examples. So I'm an eight. I'm the protector. I'm the challenger. Knowing that, just some simple feedback. Now you know, Jeff Hancher is an eight. I have tendencies in other places, of course, and all that. But what was some advice that you would give me, knowing I'm an eight? What are my watch outs? What are the things that I should be capitalizing on? And what are my opportunities?
Yes, I love working with eight leaders. Eight leaders know how to get the job done. They're fantastic. One of the top things that I'll work with eight leaders on from the very beginning is that an eight leader is usually not aware that they exude strength and confidence and assertiveness that for other people can be harsh. And so an eight is physically, you know, walks in and owns a room in the physical space, no matter how large they are, no matter what their gender is, they just have this physical presence. They tend to be kind of loud without realizing it. They tend to,
read my mail.
Yeah, like the assertiveness is fantastic. And so usually with my type eight leaders, I'll go, okay, I know in your mind, you think you're at a level two or three, but the people around you are experiencing you as an eight, a nine, or a 10.
Yeah.
Especially in conflict or difficult conversations.
Oh my.
And so we'll work with, can you bring your tone down? Can you soften your voice? Sit back in your chair and try to relax a little bit instead of, you know, leaning forward. And we'll work on a lot of those things, because for the other eight types, it can be really intimidating. And depending on the situation, the other type sitting across from the eight can shut down. Mm. And so sometimes an eight will go, why isn't it? Why won't people have the conversation with me? Why is it that I'll go in to speak truth or to give feedback and they see people shut down? Well, if the eight can adjust their approach, it creates a healthier environment. The other thing is a type eight leader loves direct feedback. They want to know, just tell me truth.
Yes.
Do not sugarcoat it. Shoot me straight. And Jeff, if I walked in to try to give you feedback and I was all super nice on the front end and then I softened it and then I, you know, which is usually the way people give feedback, it doesn't work with an eight.
Yeah.
I have just lost your respect, right? And you don't believe a word I say.
Right.
But
fluffy.
Here's the thing. You as a type eight leader need to give feedback that way to the other people around you.
Because I gotta know they're not eating Snickers bars.
You to affirm them in the beginning and then soften the approach a little bit when you're giving the feedback and then affirm on the back end. That's necessary for their personality type, even though it's not necessary and is actually counterproductive for your personality type.
I have a feeling if my wife is listening to this episode that she is going to pay for you to coach me, because it's so funny that you say that, because she's always telling me you're talking way too loud. You are so loud and you don't need to be that loud. I just get animated. I get excited. And when I first met her and I was getting to know her friends and whatnot, and this has even happened in the business world, I've been able to reel it in a little bit, but she would tell me, cause I would always be like, man, that one friend of yours, like she's very put off by me. Like she's not friendly at all to me. And she was like, well, look, I don't know how to tell you this, but she told me that you intimidate her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's the farthest thing from what I want. Now, I'm not as much that person now, but believe I have those tendencies for sure. But that self-awareness, if I would have went through life that way, I would have been that person that just kept getting rejected for promotions, not getting the relationships that I needed, not surrounding the team that I needed to win, meeting people right where they are. And look, we would be naive to think that there's not somebody listening right now that that's you. You know, your results have helped you win so much that you have lost complete sight of what's going to get you to the next spot. Yeah, it got you here. It's not going to get you there. You will reach a ceiling, and we have to know this. So what are some tangible steps that a leader can take if they'd like to increase their EQ? Like, what's a handful, a couple of things that you would say, hey, go try this or go do that, and this is going to help lift that EQ up? We talked about the Enneagram, learning more about that. What are a couple other things that you would tell the listener?
Okay, I'm going to give them three, and they all start with the letter R. I don't know why, but I'm a big fan of alliteration. It helps me remember stuff. So the first thing is spend time reflecting. If we just stay in autopilot mode and we're just constantly reacting to everything around us, we're not going to grow. We have to take the time, usually at the end of the day, to just spend 5 minutes. Think back over your day. Think back over your interactions with other people. Think back over, what would that person have been feeling in this moment? What was I feeling in this moment? Spend some time actually reflecting. If we're not reflecting, we're not developing deeper levels of self-awareness. We're just not. The second thing is lean into resources. This could be a book on emotional intelligence, a podcast. This could be an online course. This could be coaching. This could be discovering your Enneagram type and doing a deep dive into the way that you're wired as a leader. But lean into the resources. We have them at our fingertips like never before. There's no excuse for us as leaders to not be learning these soft skills that are necessary. And then the third is we actually have to respond. So I think sometimes we are taking in and consuming so much information right now, Jeff, that we're not actually responding to what we're learning. We're not putting it into action. And so as we are reflecting and we're becoming aware of things, and then as we are learning new ways of doing things and learning more about ourselves and the people around us, we want to take a moment and we want to choose to respond differently, to choose to respond more effectively. And there's trial and error here. So don't feel like you have to get this right the first time. Sometimes you try it one way and then you feel like that doesn't work. So then you try it another way. But if we are reflecting and then we are utilizing great resources and then we're responding, we're going to experience increased levels of emotional intelligence, not only within us as leaders, but with those around us.
Great advice. So we talked about resources, and I agree. I always say there's two things that will change who you become, who you hang out with, and what you consume, right? For that person that's like, hey, this is kind of new to me and I need to learn a little bit more, is there a book that you would recommend that it's like, you should read this one first?
Yes. Okay. So probably the top book on the Enneagram, I think Success Magazine actually just recommended it a couple of months ago. It's called The Road Back to You. And it's written by Ian Morgan Cron. And it's just a really good overview of all nine of the Enneagram types. And I always tell people, don't take an online quiz. I know they're out there. I know they're free. It's easy. It's fun, but they tend to confuse people and can actually lead them down the wrong path to self-discovery. Because depending on where we are and how we're doing and how self-aware we are, we can answer the questions differently. So the best way to understand your type is to read about and learn about all nine types and then to find yourself within those descriptions.
Great advice. And what about emotional intelligence specifically? Any book resources that you would recommend?
Oh, I think, I mean, emotional intelligence 2.0, right?
No doubt.
I know you
no
mentioned
doubt.
It earlier. I don't know that there's a better one out there than that one. And it's an easy read. You don't feel like you're reading a textbook.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not paid to recommend books by any stretch, but that book really helped me a lot. It has an assessment that comes with the book and it really helps you drive in. You think you have it, then you read a book, right? That's the mirror. And it helps get you back into those boundaries. Man, this is a very, very rich discussion. So before we close it out and I give you an opportunity to tell people how to find you, any other closing thoughts on the Enneagram, any other closing thoughts on EQ?
I think I would just say for the leaders listening, wherever you're feeling stuck, wherever you're feeling frustrated, wherever you're feeling like there's a lack of good communication or healthy conflict, at the root of solving that problem is increasing emotional intelligence.
No doubt.
There's not a silver bullet in life, but if there was going to be like a one thing that I would say, man, if you're struggling or you're feeling like you're not making progress as quickly as you want to make it, emotional intelligence is where I would begin to look first and where I would begin to do the work.
No doubt. And get those people around you, to Carissa's earlier point, that's going to help reveal those blind spots, because effort alone is not enough. Skill, results alone are not enough. You know, you got to find these small, but very impactful ways to get more leadership effectiveness, to get more business effectiveness. Very, very important, especially those of you that are in growth mode and hiring. You know, many of the clients that I have are growing entrepreneurs, and you know, this is a big challenge. You know, you fall in love with that candidate to find out, oh my gosh, they are like not at all what I wanted. There's things that we can do even in the hiring process to utilize this EQ and these Enneagram type strategies to win. So Carissa, great conversation. Really, really appreciate you being on today. Tell the audience how they can learn more about you, what you're doing to help other leaders and organizations thrive in these areas.
Yes, I would love to connect. Like Jeff already mentioned, you can find me on Clubhouse. I tend to hang out there. I'm also on Instagram and learning the LinkedIn world, but my website is a great place, a great resource. There's a free guide to discovering all 9 Enneagram types you can download there. And it's just carissaharrison.com. And I really love helping leaders create a plan for their personal growth that works so well, everyone around them notices the result. And that's the power of emotional intelligence. And the tool of the Enneagram is when we grow in self-awareness and then self-management and then social awareness, people notice.
Well said. And I've been in Clubhouse rooms with Carissa. You will not be disappointed. And that's all free. Get in there, get around the right people, who you hang out with, what you consume, and take a look at her website. I'm going to include that in the show notes so that you can have direct access to her and what she's doing. You know, Carissa and I will be collaborating as well, because listen, this is absolutely important. This isn't my expertise. So I love having somebody like Carissa, you know, in my network, in our community, as we help each other grow and help leaders reach their fullest potential. Here it is, folks. Leaders set the tone of their organization. And if you lack emotional intelligence, it could be more far-reaching as far as consequences as you might think. And this is going to result in lower employee engagement, higher turnover rates, and all the above, all the things that keep great leaders up at night. While you might excel at your job from a results standpoint, a technical standpoint, if you can't effectively communicate with your team or collaborate with other people, those technical skills and results are going to get overlooked eventually. By mastering emotional intelligence, you can continue to advance your career, your organization, and your leadership effectiveness. I appreciate everybody joining today. If this message challenged you, I want to invite you to join one of our online leadership groups. I always say it, that the best investment that you can make is the investment in personal development. These groups meet live via Zoom twice per month, and we cover a host of leadership topics, very similar to the one we spoke about today, within a group of very like-minded professionals. And if you're serious about your leadership development, please go to thechampionforum.com/groups to get registered. Until next time, keep making big impact and never forget, you have been set up to be a champion in this life.
The Champion Forum Podcast with Jeff Hancher. Lead. Inspire. Win.